I spoke to Srila Bhakti Vimalavadut Maharaj last night. He's in Govardhan for the celebration and observance. And in principle, Srila Guru Maharaj is saying one thing we learned from these pastimes, that as we pursue the order of Krishna, and by extension, as Guru Maharaj sometimes says, the suggestion of Srimati Radharani, like Chodita, Prachodayat, mystical implications of Gayatri, the heart is resonating with Krishna conception and running toward Krishna against the current or the currents of the world. It puts the aspiring servitors at odds with the world and the currents of the world. And as Krishna's Bhavagrahi Janardhan, he likes a particular flow of heart. And he's a connoisseur of heart, you can say. And it seems that when the devotees are in the most extreme position or adverse circumstances, it causes them to rely upon a greater depth of heart than is normal. Right? So as we hear in Kunti, Hare Krishna, Vipadak Shantutak Shashvat Tatra Tatra Jagad Guru Bhavato Darshanam Yatsyad Apunar Bhavadarshanam. Kunti, even inviting adverse circumstances, because in the midst of such adversity, she knows that she's more reliant upon Krishna and dependent exclusively upon the shelter of Krishna. And as we just discussed, Srila Prabhupada, in a similar situation, in the deep, surrounded by ocean on all sides, heart attack, offering himself, placing himself on the altar of self-sacrifice in pursuance of the order of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. When also we think, Draupadi. On one level, we can say, why didn't Krishna answer immediately? She's on the verge of, she's being humiliated and on the verge of abject humiliation in that Kuru Sabha, and crying out, and no help coming apparently. But when she lifts both arms and is in that way, not this much to Krishna, that much I'm trying to protect myself, which is, we could say, a situation, circumstance that the aspiring servitors find themselves in, that reluctance to let go of everything and that last final thing and just exclusively take shelter of Krishna. Then Krishna, that again, that sort of heart has been achieved that is most addictive and appealing to Krishna. So we included this, Guru Maharaj's talks on this subject, the Govardhan Puja, and as we have Brahma Vimohan, Indra Mohan, the bewilderment of Indra crushing the pride of Indra, who we can also say really is an aspiring servitor. It's there, the Lord of the Cows chapter, and begins with the sloka from the Bhagavatam that encapsulates or describes this pastime. Actually voiced by Nanda Maharaj, but he's summarizing what happened because of the astonishment of all the cowherd people at what they witnessed and participated in. He says, Deve Varshati Yajna Viplava Rusha Rusha Brajrashma Barshanilai Siddhat Palu Pashu Pala Pashu Striatma Sharanam Drishtvanukam Utsmayam Utpatyeka Karena Shailam Avalo Liloch Chalindram Jita Bibrat Goshtam Apan Mahindra Madhabit Priyana Indro Gavan. We don't think generally of Nanda Maharaj as a philosopher or, you know, but this is the beauty of, as Guru Maharaj said, with regard to Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda, when they do express something, it's from the heart, it's perfect, it's all comprehensive, and the devotion of everyone else becomes upgraded. But they're not in the position of philosophers or giving an ontological summary, yet within their words, all of these things are there. And he is saying, what happened? In essence, we were preparing for the annual Indra Yajna. I mean, everywhere in the world, they have some festivals every year. Here approaching is the Loi Krathong, and so they'll do that, and there are other everywhere you go, there's some annual festival. Generally, even in the Western countries, the harvest, the springtime celebrating the planting, and then another time celebrating the harvest. So they have some annual festival where they gather the ingredients for this puja or worship, or all the things they've acquired, they're thinking, by the grace of Indra, who's, you know, the lord of rain and other subtle things. I mean, Indra, literally the word means king. And actually, just as there are different Manus, there are different Indras, kings of heaven. And they also have specific names. You can find some of their names mentioned in the pages of the Bhagavatam. So, but as king of Indra means the king of heaven. So Krishna observes they're doing this. It's in the pre-festival mood or gathering all the ingredients, getting everything set up. And like children are very curious, sometimes Krishna pastimes they play the curious child who's saying, oh, father, why are we doing this? Well, I see something bigger. He's only, seven? Saying, what is this festival? Is this something we do because it's just a tradition and no one really knows why, but we just do it? As we see in many places, you say, oh, what's this festival? The average person doesn't know. You have to talk to someone in the know, and they say, oh, well, it started this way and that way, and it's become this. So Krishna's hand. Is it something like that? We just do this every year. We don't really know why, but it's just a little tradition the cow people follow. Or is this, it's in the Vedas somewhere? The Vedas have so many different types of prescriptions. Karmakanda, Gyanakanda, Upasanakanda, sections according to how people are karmically situated. There's a path for them. So is this, maybe it's mentioned in there, please tell me. And Nanda Maharaj is saying, well, actually, it's the Indra annual Indra Yajna, and we're cow people, you know, cow herds. And our wealth is the cows, but very essential for the cows is the grass. Like we were just in Vrindavan and we were at the Madan Mohan temple, and there's actually beautiful grass, like special kind of grass growing up there. And in the middle of the lecture, one cow is just like eating the grass, probably where she eats every day anyway, but we're actually in her space. It's not that she entered our space, we entered her space. And she, you know, sort of obliviously chewing, then getting close, then I know, I'm in the middle of a talk, actually. And then I look up, and there's this cow just looking at me, and I offered some, she came over, and she just like, then see, like my garland is like, it's full of roses. Those are like sweets for cows, you know, like rasgullas. Starts, you know, nonchalantly chewing the garland. I just offering all the flowers. And she's just very gentle, very sweet. So Nanda Maharaj is saying, that's, we're dependent upon grass. We're dependent, the cows are everything to us, but they need to eat the grass. Like, pani yasuya vasakanda rakanda mulai. Right? Sweet grass. And that's how we structure our life. When we run out of grass, then we pick up camp, we move to another place, and then and that's what we do. We're the cowherd people. And you don't get grass without rain, and you don't get rain without worshiping Indra. So we're offering some annual tribute because he makes the rain, the cows eat the grass, then the cows produce milk, and from that milk we get ghee, butter, yogurt, you know, channa, paneer, curd, whatever you want to say. So it's only appropriate that we do this. So it's like a tribute to him and appreciation for the annual rains that produce these beautiful and sweet grasses so much favored by the cows. And while Nanda Maharaj is saying that, they're assembling everything and they've got everything ready for the sacrifice. And Krishna, just like a child, he can also be a naughty child and ask some questions that are hard to answer. Like the children, they always go, why? And you give them an answer and they go, why? And you give them another answer and they go, why? Until you can't answer anymore. Their last why, just, you see the adults flustered and bewildered. And that's just the way it is. You know, they don't. Or because I'm your mother, or something like that. But Krishna's saying he can be very naughty with his speech and what he says. And said, actually, of course, so this is sort of a karmic thing you're saying. You do these things, and then Indra, or by God, whoever, rewards those karmic activities that you do. So it would seem to me like Indra doesn't have a choice. Right? If you do good things, then he has no choice about to withhold rain or give rain. It's really this karma that's in the superior position. Next, Krishna is speaking in a bewildering way. He's espousing a philosophy known as Karmavad, which essentially says, whether there is God or not, we don't know. It's a lot of talk, speculation, things, but you know, we can't say for sure. It's in another subtle world. We can't prove that by any conventional means, so we don't really know. But what we do know is the difference between right and wrong. That we know, even intuitively, you know, right and wrong. So we do what is right. And if we do what is right, if there is a God, it's okay. If there isn't a God, it's still okay. So through Karmavad, God becomes relegated to an insignificant, almost non-existent position. So they're saying, what is the highest thing is work, duty, karma. As I mentioned once that when I was with Giriraj Swami, I accompanied him to Jamaica in the 1970s to do some collection for the Bombay Temple and project. And we were the guests of these wealthy Indians. They owned a huge company, national company. They made all their workers say Jai Radhe at the start of every work. We went there and they all go sit at their sewing machines. They go, Jai Radhe, Jai Sri Radhe. Then they can sit down, start sewing. But what the host, we were staying in the son's room, and he was worried about whether or not his son was going to take up the family business. He seemed to be going in another direction or not interested. And so he put a poster in his room, the Bhagavad Gita, this famous picture where Arjuna's like sort of kneeling on the chariot and going, he's confused, he doesn't know what to do. And there's Krishna like smiling, instructing him. And he said, as he explaining to his worries about his son, because you know, the Lord is telling Arjuna, you know, get a job. And I was saying like, oh, I think I missed that chapter. He's saying karma, you like do your duty, do your work, but he's saying like, Krishna's saying, get a job. That's why you're bewildered and confused. You don't have a job. Saying like, you've really distilled the essence of karma, kanda, and karmavad philosophy into a single statement, sir. So Krishna's saying, then that's what higher than Indra is karma, work, duty, those things. And he has nothing to say about it. If you do your work, it comes, and if not, not. He has no choice. And also, we observe, if what you're saying is true, you know, it rains on the sidewalk. It rains on the road. It just doesn't rain where you did holy things or pious things. It's raining. It rains on the water where there is no need of rain. It's raining everywhere. And he's, by speaking in this way, actually Krishna's going through different types of practically atheistic philosophical systems. And in the process, bewildering Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd who are like listening in on what he's saying. So at the conclusion, and he's saying, and God, he's irrelevant because again, if you do act properly, as they say, do the right thing, you know the difference between right and wrong. He has to reciprocate that. So it's putting karma in a superior position. And Krishna's saying, really for us, if you want to worship someone or something, what's most worshipable for us is Govardhan, Giriraj Govardhan, Govardhan Hill, Govardhan Parbat, mountain. You can say, well, like small mountain, deceptively small, like the Aprakrita Leela of Krishna. You find in Garga Sangita some descriptions of Govardhan as being practically infinite in size, that king of mountains. But in Krishna Leela, appearing like a small sized hill mountain. Saying, and that's where we got the sweet grass, as in the, where is it? In the Venugeta section of the Bhagavatam, gopis, they're praising different aspects of Krishna Leela. And they say, Hantaya Madrilabala Haridasa Bharja Yad Rama Krishna Charana Sparasha Pramoda Manam Tadoti Sahago Ganayas Tayoryat Pani Yasuya Vasakandara Kandamule. Oh, there come the sweet, sweet breezes of Govardhan. So they're saying, and it's very interesting what they say too. Hantayam adrila bala haridasa bharja. They're praising Govardhan Hill and saying, you are Haridas Varja. You're the best of the servants of Hari. Haridas Varja. So this is interesting because we will hear in this pastime that Govardhan, it's Giriraj Govardhan, is Krishna. But here they're saying, it's Krishna, but Krishna in the role of Haridas, the servant of Krishna. Why? Yad Rama Krishna Charanas Parasha Pramoda. And he's very happy when the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram are touching him. Sparasha means to touch. Pramod means becomes very happy. So Krishna and Balaram are walking on, and Govardhan is like shivering in ecstasy, very happy. They're herding their cows there. Sparasha Pramoda. Manam Tadoti Sahago Paniyas. Manam tanoti sahago ganayas tayoyat pani yasuya vasakandara kandamule. And on the Govardhan, there are lakes with very sweet water, like ha paniya, like grumar. Sweet water, they drink that water. They're eating very sweet grass. And we have to remember, this is Chinmoy grass, right? Baikuntir priti vyadi sakala Chinmoy. As I said once, like sort of thinking out loud, I said, so there must be difference between the grass in Vaikuntha and the grass in Goloka. Gurumar said, of course. But I thought, oh, like, so, and if they say, just for the sake of, you know, some sort of analysis, if Nandamar is saying, they sometimes pull up camp, whatever it's called, and like move to another section where the grasses are sweeter, if they're all Chinmoy and made of conscious substance, it shows you something about the gradation of Krishna consciousness and sweetness, that one grass could be sweeter than another. It's just interesting to note. So, and the Brajagopis, these, if you notice consistently, whenever they're expressing some sort of glorification, and in Kalchan that may be some aspiration or allusion to their own pastimes, and they say, Pani Yasuya Yavandara Kandamule, they say there are many caves on Govardhan. With the implication, in these caves, which again described in Garga Sangita and other places, they're not caves the way we normally think, but these caves are the site of their divine pastimes. And they're lit by jewels, and their whole worlds inside these caves that are just suitable for the divine pastimes of the Brajagopis. But they only make reference to caves, not anything explicit or detail. So they're praising Govardhan. These are all the things you offer, that you receive the touch of the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, which makes you ecstatic. You're supplying sweet grass, waters for all the cows, and there are many caves there for other types of pastimes. So they're offering this sort of praise. So Krishna is telling them all, then really we need to repurpose all this gathered paraphernalia and ingredients for the worship of Indra and repurpose it for the worship of Govardhan. Govardhan's everything for us. I thought Nanda Maharaj just said, all right, son, yes. Guru Maharaj says, some of the other cowherd men were a little like, oh, I wonder, you know, they were a little reluctant, but they went along with it too. Krishna's so charming. Remember, he's also a young boy, and he's very sweetly. And then, so they're all charmed by Krishna, by Krishna's conception. Ahoy tukya pratyata, causeless and irresistible. They can't resist Krishna's sweet suggestion. And so they repurpose all the paraphernalia for the worship of Govardhan Hill. And this shows they're Gyanashunya Bhaktas, they're, you know, Sharal, they're simple-hearted people. Now they're worshiping Govardhan Hill, and Krishna's saying, all right, everyone, get all the ingredients, and we'll have a big festival, and with the cows in front, they're like circumambulating Govardhan Hill, and then they're offering so many things to Govardhan Hill. And then something very mysterious happens, is that Krishna shows that he is in fact Govardhan. We're told sometimes with very long extents of arms or thousands of arms. He's taking everyone's offerings and enjoying them. Everything that's being offered, he's enjoying. And they see, although Krishna is with them as a child, Krishna's also Govardhan Hill. And with them, Krishna's bowing. It's in a sense, worshiping himself. But if we factor in that the Haridas Varja, it makes it even more interesting. Himself in the capacity of a servant of the Lord. So everyone's happy with that, and except one person, Indra. Right? So it says, Deve Varsati Yajna Viplava Rusha. Means Indra. He's looking down on this scene from heaven and thinking, these foolish people, under the influence of this arrogant upstart boy who talks, he's so talkative, like talk, and these foolish people, they're listening to him. This is crazy. He talked them out of worshiping me, and this is so offensive. That's what he's saying. This is an offense to the gods. Although one of Krishna's names is Devadeva, the god's god. So he's saying, I need to teach these people a lesson, and with this arrogant boy and their foolishness. So he summons his cloud posse, and there are many different types, and they have different specialties. And as Guru Maharaj said, just with a footnote, it's like subjective evolution of consciousness. Everything's conscious, so the clouds are conscious, their personality, etc. And he's saying, go teach these Vrindavan people and that arrogant child a lesson. And they immediately go to Vrindavan. It starts raining, then hail, you know, ice balls, hail, thunderstorms, thunderbolts. He's throwing everything at Vrindavan. And it's become very cold there, and they're all shivering, and it's raining, and then they have nothing, no other shelter than Krishna. And they're approaching him and saying, Krishna, it was because of listening to you and following your, which we did happily, we did everything you said, and we're following your advice. But now look at the situation. So they're saying, please give us shelter. And what it says, drishtvan anukampam, like tatenukampam susamiksham, means compassion. Drishtvan, and seeing them, they're all like shivering, it's very cold. Whenever there's hail, it's like very cold rain, and they're shivering, and sees the cows, they're all shaking, you know. I mean, it's, from one point of view, it's not funny, but it's Krishna says a little smile. He's happy that this circumstance led them. They're looking at him. Just imagine the calves, the cows, the bridge, but they're all looking at Krishna and asking for him to do something to give him shelter. And what does it say in the Gita? Paritranaya sarunam vinashaya cha duskritam. Right. Song of Bhaktivinoda. Braja jana palana asurakula nashana. Not that Indra is asurakul, but in this pastime, more or less. He's the opposition, you can say. Temporary insanity. So seeing them all, it says that Krishna, like, he's smiling, he's happy that this is their conclusion. In the midst of the greatest adversity, take shelter of him. But what shall he do? It's interesting, his choice. I was mentioning that to Avadhut Maharaj. Like, he doesn't, then we say, and then there was a big battle with Indra. Krishna took up some weapons, like, you know, Vishnu type stuff, gada, chakra, or those other, you know, the Shiva Jwar, the Narayana Jwar. That's not what he does. What does he do? We're told he lifts up Govardhan Hill. It's like the way a child picks up a ball or the way you pluck a mushroom. It's interesting, the word for mushroom is similar to the word for umbrella, because mushrooms are umbrella-like. So the way a child, he lifts up the Govardhan Hill with his left hand, which is, you know, it's amazing. Right? So he's not fighting with Indra in any conventional way. He lifts up the Govardhan and tells him, take shelter of Giri Govardhan. So everyone goes underneath. And that's what, he's holding Govardhan. And on top of Govardhan, it's raining, thundering, and everyone is sheltered there. And this is beginning to Indra Mohan, bewilder Indra. It's an incredible thing to see. And Krishna, he's only seven, and he's holding this. He's holding for 7 days. So those, one thing is, we hear that Yashoda and Rohini, they were worried because they're thinking, he's only seven. How can you expect a kid to hold the hill for 7 days? But that shows you how deep they are in Gyanashunya Bhakti. How can he do it at all? How can he hold it for 7 minutes? But they're thinking, 7 days, it's too much for a boy. So we're telling, they're feeding him butter to give him strength. Right? So they're like pushing butter into Krishna's mouth. Like, hold on, son. And Krishna's on. And then there's also cowherd men. They're thinking, because we're told sometimes, because Krishna's also, it's impressive to his girlfriends what he's doing. We think, no, he's seven. Yeah, but they're told auspicious personalities, according to the, perhaps Padma Purana says, you have to multiply 1.5. Really, he's more like 13. He's older. Anyway, so then sometimes there are descriptions where he's looking at Radharani and the Braja Gopis, and his arm starts to tremble a little bit. And so it's like, just to increase the drama and intensity. So some of those cowherd men, they're raising their sticks and they think, we're holding it too. He's in the center, but we're also keeping it steady. And so then Indra, seeing this, he's also astonished. Krishna ran from his house to Govardhan before lifting the Samhariki Shakti, one of his many energies, made it so that there was a path with no, like a dome, no rain on the way. He didn't even have a drop of water on his turban on the way there. But there are some other animals on the top. They're sort of getting blasted at the same time. It's very complex pastime. But anyway, Indra becomes bewildered. He stops all the rain and realizes, thinking Krishna to be an ordinary child, an ordinary, he's thinking a mere human being while he's a deva. Now we can understand, he's starting to get a picture of what the Aprakrita Leela of Krishna means. Stops all the rain. Krishna puts Govardhan back down exactly in the same place. There's no hint of where it was removed, and tells everyone, everything's okay now. They went out from underneath. And then Indra, we're told at that time, the bridge basi, many of them, they come for Krishna. They're all celebrating. Gods and goddesses are dancing. Tumburu is singing, the Gandharvas. But the cowherd men and some of the boys, they're hugging Krishna. Thank you for saving us. And we're told others, they're saying his arm must be sore from 7 days. So they're like massaging his, you know, doing like acupuncture pressure on his arms, you know, massaging there. Are you okay? You know, I'll be better soon. You know, that's how they are. They need to massage his arm. How can he do this for 7 days if he doesn't have some extraordinary power? Well, they're saying, a good massage and you'll be fine. Then Indra comes with his elephant, Airavata, and Surabhi, the divine Surabhi cow. And he's offering many prayers of forgiveness, just as Brahma did, and many prayers and praise of Krishna. And we're told Mother Surabhi, with her milk, like there was Abhishek this morning, right? Yeah. Principally milk, because here it's milk and water and other things, but milk and water. And so the milk from Surabhi, she has unlimited milk. She's bathing Krishna. And water comes from the, like Ganga Jal, from the trunk of Indra's elephant. Like on the Thai festival, so they have the elephant spraying people. So the elephants, Surabhi bathes Krishna in milk, and the elephant, like bathing Krishna in the water. And we know from that is formed Govindakunda. And what we should say at the end of it, just like it says in the verse, Utpatyeka Karina Shailam Abalo Lilot Jalindram Dita Bibrad Goshtam upon Mahindra Adibit. Mahindra, that means the great Indra, Mahindra, the king of heaven, his pride was checked. Krishna, really, this was to check the pride of a devotee. He's saying that you can get puffed up with material success or position or many other things. And Krishna doesn't like to see that in the heart of a devotee. And Indra's really devotee, aspiring, although generally represents karma misra bhakti, but there's a reason for that, and it's actually relatable if we like to think of ourselves as aspiring servitors. So Krishna, this was to check his pride, and actually, how do you say, induct him into the aprakrita lila of Krishna. We can understand the human-like pastimes of Krishna is the ultimate conception of divinity. That the pastime, these such pastimes, they're, as that one Bengali poet said, the human form is higher than God. And people thought, oh, that's like humanism. And Guru Maharaj said, no, saying the human-like pastimes of divinity are superior to the majestic aspect of divinity. Krishna Rajateka Kela, Sarvatam Naralila, Naravaputa Haraswarup, Gopavesh Venukar, Navakishor, Natavar, Naralila Hoy Anurup. So Indra, realizing that, and he's saying, I'm Indra, you know, the king of heaven, but you are really the king. You're the king of my heart. And you're who are you disguised as? A cowherd boy. You're the king of the cows. But actually, you're the king of everything. So Indra, at this time, as it says in the end of Bibra Goshtam upon Mahindra Madibit, Priyana Indra Gavan. So it's saying Indra Gava. If you reverse that, it becomes Gava Indra. The king of the cows, the lord of the cows, Gava Indra becomes Govinda. So it is, although it's Krishna's eternal name, like Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchitananda Vigraha, Anadir Adir Govinda, although that's his original name and his original position, still these are the pastimes in the play. So Indra gives him the name Govinda. And everyone's happy. That, oh, Krishna, like another name, we can call him Govinda. It's very beautiful. And, yes, so, Pardon me? Oh, Govinda Kunda. Yes, yeah, so described in the Brahma Sangita and at Armat, which is Gupta Govardhan, Guru Maharaj designated the puku or the pond across the street, which is now part of it, as Govinda Kunda. And for many years, it was his desire for it to become very glorious, and that was realized by Srila Acharya Maharaj with the creation of the beautiful temple there for Giriraj Govardhan and the beautification of the Kunda. And at the opening, Srila Gurudev composed the song, another like Giriraj Arati. And within that, he said that some fortunate souls, when they're bathing in the waters of Govinda Kunda, because it's originally, remember, the milk from Surabhi, and also by extension, you know, enriched with prem, saying, so some souls, fortunate souls, when they're bathing in Govinda Kunda, sometimes they will, some of that water will enter their mouths and they will taste it as that divine milk, that the Abhishek of Giriraj. And we could not help but notice on the first day of the inauguration, there was one swan boat and many devotees eager to go out to the temple in the center. And the boat, maybe it was overloaded. I'm not sure. Oh. Oh, a raft. And too many people got on. So halfway out, it started sinking. And there were all these ladies in saris, you know, full dress, and some of them could not swim. And so they had to be rescued by other devotees. But some of the water of Govinda Kunda was entering their mouths. And maybe for some fortunate souls, they got a taste of that divine substance by the mercy of the Lord to arrange this little drama, like a drama on the way. And it's very significant. Remember, these pastimes, particularly, and the significance of Govardhan is not just one of many wonderful pastimes of peripheral interest to the followers of Srila Saraswati Thakur and the Rupa Nuga line, but rather it's of primary interest. Because he says, you can find these slokas and the purports of Prapanna Jivanamritam, one of them being, Gandharika Giri Thari Jata Krita Koila Vrindavanavan Govardhana Shrestha. Forget the first line. Gandharika Giri Thari Jata Krita Koila Vrindavanavan Hoite Shrestha Govardhana Govardhana Shrestha Gandharika Giri Thari Jata Krita Koila. Saying, superior to Vrindavan are the pastimes in Govardhan. Superior to that and Radha Kunda. But our Guru Varga, Saraswati Thakur, is saying, really our place, as indicated by Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, is Govardhan, as in Nija Nikata Nivasa Dehi Govardhanatvam. Saying, and we are under the guidance of the superior gurus, and this means in the upper world and the internal confidential identity. They go from Govardhan to Kusum Sarovara, collect the flowers necessary for Seva and Radha Kund, serve the superior gurus and Radha Kunda, and then return to Govardhan. So it's a very beautiful thing. So it's really the target of our line, as indicated by Raghunath Das Goswami. Srila Saraswati Thakur said he wanted to spend his final days there, and he appeared there to the Pandit Balaram, mysteriously, right at the time of his disappearance, because he had said he would come. He said he had a vision saying, Balaram, I've come. And he contacted the devotees. What is the condition of Prabhupada? They said, oh, he's left the world. So he appeared there in a vision. Srila Swami Maharaj, Prabhupada, and a few days before his disappearance, expressed his heart's aspiration. He said, on a bullock cart to Govardhan. And it was one of those things like, how can they disagree with him spiritually? But the devotees were crying to Mal Krishna Maharaj and begging Prabhupada not to make them do this, because they thought, on a bullock, he won't survive the journey. But it's like what Guru Maharaj said about going to Gangbira. If I die along the way, at least I will have died going in the right direction. But he's expressing his heart. He wants to go take shelter at last in Govardhan. This is a few days before his disappearance. Srila Govinda Maharaj, Srila Gurudev said in the last years repeatedly that he would have his bhajan kutir in Govardhan, and we just saw it there actually being, it's even more beautiful, being maintained and nicely by Uma Devi. And he described which kind of trees would be there according to Narottam and Bhaktivinoda, and the vines on the tree, very beautiful, and saying that he will be performing his bhajan there. And you could get a sense of that when we visited recently. And how does Guru Maharaj describe the placement of his mat? Srimat Chaitanya Saraswata Matabara Udgita Kirtir Jayasrim Bibrat Sambati Gangatata, the banks of the Ganga, Nikata, Navadvipa, Koladri Raje, Adri Raj, like that verse, Hantayam Adrir Abala, Adri means also Govardhan. It means Adviraj, the king of the, like Giriraj, same thing. It's just another way of expressing. Nabadvipa Koladri Raje. What is the location of this mat? In Gupta Govardhan. That's why, because here we're trying to proceed under the guidance of Srila Guru Maharaj and Srila Gurudev and their conception. We've designated this place Gupta Govardhan. That's where we seek our shelter and our fortune. Hare Krishna. So, and it's expressed by Raghunath Das Goswami and in other places. And Mahaprabhu gave him the Govardhan Shila. That's why we have Giriraj. And Guru Maharaj is saying, you know, a part of the infinite is infinite. This whole Leela is about, just as Indra is thinking that Krishna is ordinary human, we may think that Giriraj is ordinary, but he has the full capacity of the entire Govardhan, of the entire infinite of Krishna realized in Giriraj. And many things for us to appreciate and understand. So, Hare Krishna.